Okay, just to explain, this is called the cave, and there's two parts of this story, one around the birth of Jesus and one around the death of Jesus. And I'll just explain who they are in case you can't read their signs on them. Over here is the innkeeper, Mary, mother of Jesus, our shepherd, Joseph of Arimathea, who gave a tomb to Jesus, and Mary Magdalene.
A cave. I know, a cave. It wasn't much, but what could I do? Turn the poor couple away and let her give birth on the side of a road? We didn't have room, but I made space. We were bursting at the seams. We were so busy that day. So we decided to give them a place where we keep the animals. It wasn't much, but it's amazing how much space you can make when you see something as important. It wasn't ideal, but I made space in my heart to give them a place to stay in the cave.
A cave? I mean, a cave. It wasn't what I expected for the birth of my first child, especially God's son. But it was dry and private, and Joseph managed to make me comfortable enough. When I looked at my baby's face, I thought, I'm looking at the face of my creator, my king, my savior, and he's in my hands. It was overwhelming. All I had were a few strips of cloth to lay his precious body in and put him gently in a manger, a feeding trough. It seemed like no place for a king. Who would have thought that in the darkest of places God's face would be revealed? Somehow I knew that in that cave was the start of an amazing story.
A cave. A cave. You could imagine my surprise when the angel told me that the savior of the world was going to be laying in a manger. As we went to Bethlehem, there he was, laying with the animals. That cold night on the hillside, I was tired. Not just tired of the night, tired of life. I worked hard for very little pay, treated like the lowest of the low, a smelly reject. I needed to find refuge, to find love, to find somewhere where I can, somewhere warm that I can rest and peace. That night, I found refuge. I found the light of the world. I found refuge for my soul.
A cave. I had a tomb prepared for me and my family for the future. What could I do? Jesus was a relatively young man. He had no riches. His family had nowhere to lay his beaten body. I couldn't leave his body to be dealt with by others. Jesus has made such a difference to my life. I had to give all I had to make room for him in that cave that day. That's all I have to give him now. One last act of worship. I didn't want this to be the end of the story. I didn't want it to end like this, in a cold, dark cave.
A cave. It felt like we'd come full circle. Who thought that those years back, when I wrapped him in strips of cloth and lay him in the cave, that years later, I would take his broken, disfigured body and wrap him in strips of cloth and lay him in another cave to rest. Who would have thought that those hands so small would someday be stretched out to save us all? Who would have thought that the gift of myrrh from that wise man would be used so soon to anoint his body? I felt broken that day. Was this the end of the story? In the cold, dark cave?
The cave. We were off to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body with spices and oils. We hadn't been able to do this because it had been the Sabbath. My heart was broken. My life that had been changed around by the Savior felt like it was falling apart once again. I went to the cave in despair. I went to the cave to pray, to hide for a while with my Savior as we did this one last act of worship by anointing Jesus' body. But what was this? The stone had rolled away. He was not there. He had risen. He was alive. Hope returned. My heart was healed. My life reborn again. The cold, dark cave where it all began was not the end. It was the beginning of a new life. The cave was not the end of the story, just the beginning.
The cave was not the end of the story, it was just the beginning. For many people, Christmas is an end in itself, isn't it? They work really hard and build up to this big day. But for us, Christmas is just the beginning of the story, isn't it? It's just the beginning of Jesus. It's just the beginning of the story. And it's just the beginning of the story of Jesus coming with his love and coming with his grace to come into the world, to show us his plan, to show us his peace. We often think that Jesus was born in a stable, like a barn, like kind of thing. But researchers say that he was probably born in a cave. It was probably a cave-like thing. And that's where they kept the animals. And Jesus was born in a borrowed cave, a cold, dark, smelly cave. Not an ordered, beautiful palace that you would expect a king to be in, but a cold, dark, smelly cave. And I think this points to the kind of king that he was going to be. He was going to be a king that reached out to the poor, to reach out to those that needed him. And sometimes we think, I talk to people, and even as Christians, sometimes we think we need to get it all together before we come to Jesus. But I feel like Jesus is saying to us, he's reminding us today that he came to a cave. He came to a cold, hard, dark place. And you don't have to get it all sorted and to come to Jesus. He wants you this morning to invite him into the cave of your heart and your life. Maybe it feels like sometimes we don't feel like we're good enough. Sometimes we don't feel like we've got it all together. But that's the whole point of the story, that Jesus came to that cold, hard, dark place. And sometimes our hearts feel hard, don't they? But that's where Jesus came to. I was thinking about what happens in the Bible in a cave. There's several instances, and I just thought of a couple of places. One of them is a guy called Elijah, who you probably have heard of, but he's a prophet, and he did amazing things for God. He saw miracles, he saw amazing things, and straight after it, he is feeling afraid. He's in fear of his life. He's feeling weary and tired, and he feels like he wants to die. This man of God feels like he wants to die. And God feeds him and he gives him a sleep. And then he takes him to a mountain, Mount Horeb. And God meets with him in a cave. And he meets with him and in the small, quiet whisper. And then he doesn't just leave him there. It's really tempting, isn't it, to wallow in self-pity when we're going through a hard time. But he doesn't leave him to wallow in self-pity. He speaks to him and he sets him on his feet again. And he makes him go and serve him again. And this morning, you know, you may be feeling tired and weary, and you may be maybe you've done great things for God, and maybe you're feeling disappointed in some way. But Jesus this morning, he wants to take you, maybe not to a literal cave, but he wants to you to spend some time with him. Let him refresh you. Let him speak to you in a gentle whisper. Let him speak to you this morning and over this Christmas time. Let him refresh you, because he doesn't want you to stay in that place of weariness. But this morning, he wants to, and this Christmas time, I believe he wants to speak to you and refresh you and set you on your feet again, and give you a new song to sing, and a new song of praise, and be able to speak out for him again. There's a place in Exodus 33 where Moses, great man of God, he spends a lot of time seeking God, and he desires to have more of God. He wants to know his presence. He says, God, if your presence doesn't go with us, we don't want to go. And he desires to see God's mercy. So God takes him to a cleft of a rock and he lets his goodness pass before him. You see, when we seek God with all of our hearts, he promises that we will find him. And I just felt like this was for this church, for this Christmas time. As we come to the end of 2015 and enter 2016, can I encourage you this Christmas to carve out some time to be with God and seek him? Because when you seek him, you will find him. When you seek him with all of your heart, you will find him and you will see the glory of God. And we as a church, we want to see the glory of God in Corby and in our lives, don't we? So I just, you know, spend some time, not in a literal cave, but just in a time of space with God. I think it's, you know, a cave just seems like there's no distractions in a cave. I don't expect there's anything interesting. There's no people. There's nobody there. It's just a cold, hard, dark place. And sometimes we're going through cold, hard, dark things, and I don't know what you're going through this morning, but God wants to meet you there. There's lots of other times where caves are mentioned. I'm sure many that I won't talk about today. But David, he goes to caves quite a lot during his time, and he's usually running in fear. But there's one time in 1 Samuel 22 where he runs to a cave, and God doesn't just leave him in this cave in fear. He puts people around him, and there are disparate people, and he brings them together, and they become an army of God. So even if you're fearful this morning, you know, fear is not the end of the story. When Jesus is involved, he can set you free. Being worn out and discouraged is not the end of the story when Jesus is involved. And finally, this sounds a bit of a weird one to talk about, but Abraham. When Abraham dies in Genesis 25, they put him in a cave in a field, his sons by a cave in a field. And it seems a bit of an odd thing to talk about. But, you know, death isn't the end of the story for Abraham. He had been promised by God two things, that all nations would be blessed through him and that they would be given the promised land. And at the point of his death, he only has two sons. And so far, you know, his descendants aren't as many as all the stars in the sky, like the promise says. It's not quite happened yet. And the promised land hasn't been won yet. But he is buried in the promised land. It's like he dies, but there's like the promise still remains. And for some of us, sometimes the promise feels like it's dying in our lives. But God, it's not the end of the story just because we are struggling, because God is involved and he is faithful to his promises. Even death is not the end of the story. And his birth points to his death. You know, he was placed in a borrowed tomb, a borrowed cave when he was born, and he is placed in a borrowed tomb, a borrowed cave when he dies. When he's born, he's wrapped in strips of cloth, and when he dies, he's wrapped in strips of cloth. At his birth, he's given gold, frankincense, and myrrh points to the kind of bitter death that Jesus was gonna experience for us, to pay for all the things we've done wrong. And at his death, that myrrh is used to anoint his body. The cave was just the beginning of the story. And when Jesus was laid in the cave, when he died, that was not the end of the story, as we know. It was just the beginning, because Jesus was going to rise from death. And he was going to do amazing things in people's lives, so that today that we can know our Savior, we can know his power in our lives. And even if our situation seems desperate right now, can I just encourage you, invite Jesus into the depth of that place. Invite him into the cave of your life today, because the story is not ended. It is just the beginning. And so this morning, I don't know if you know God in your life, but I just want you to make room for him. I want to encourage you to make room for him today. Your life may be busy. You may be like the innkeeper who didn't feel like he had room for anything else, but he made room for Jesus. Can I encourage you today to make room for Jesus? You may be feeling like your life's in a bit of a mess right now. It's a cold, hard, dark place. But I want to encourage you, ask Jesus to come into that place today. Ask him to come in and be in your life. And this morning, I want to encourage you, commit to seeking God. Commit to going to that place to be with God, to allow him to speak to you, refresh you, and show you his glory. And whatever you're going through, I want to speak hope into your life, because that is what Christmas is all about, that Jesus came to bring hope. You see, the cave is not the end. It's just the beginning of the story. So I'm just going to pray now. If you don't know Jesus this morning and you'd like to know him, you'd like to make space in your heart for him, then I'm just going to pray a simple prayer that you can ask Jesus into your life this morning and ask him to come into your heart. And I'm just going to pray a prayer. And if you want to repeat after me, you can repeat after me. If everyone just bows their heads to pray for a moment. Lord, I thank you that you came into this world Lord, I thank you that you came to a cold, hard, dark place to show me that you love me. And this morning, I want to make room for you. Lord, I ask you to come into my life this morning. And Lord, I'm sorry for all the wrong things I've done. Sometimes I just don't feel like I'm good enough. But I thank you that Jesus paid the price for me to be good enough. And this morning I ask for your peace and your joy to come into my life. And I ask you to be king of my life. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time this morning, just while everybody's eyes are still closed and their heads still bowed, if you could just raise your hand to indicate that you prayed that prayer this morning for the first time. Thank you. And I just want to pray. Lord God, I just pray for us right now, Lord God, wherever we're at and however we're feeling this morning. Lord, I want to pray that you'll come into our hearts. Lord, whether we've known you for a long time or whether we've only known you for a short time, Lord God, some of us feel like we're a mess this morning, but we need Jesus to come into that place. And Lord, we just pray, Lord God, that you'll help us to spend time with you. Lord, will you come by your Holy Spirit and refresh people this morning and let your kingdom come. And Lord, I pray for those who are particularly feeling like there is no hope and that the promises in their life have died. Lord God, I want to pray for your resurrection life to come and fill each person here today. Fill them with that hope of a new life. And Lord God, we commit today. Lord, I just want to commit to seeking you, Lord Jesus, over this Christmas time. It's often really busy, but Lord God, I just pray, Lord God, that you'll help us to commit to seeking you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And Lord God, that as we go into 2016, Lord, that we will go in really wanting to seek your glory and seeing your goodness pass before us, Lord. Lord, I thank you that you want to know us. And I thank you, Lord, that the cave was not just the beginning of the story. It wasn't the end of the story. It was just the beginning.
The angel, when he appeared on the hillside in Bethlehem, said, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." And just want to thank everyone for reminding us of the true meaning of Christmas. And I'd encourage you during the busyness of the period, with all of the wrapping paper and the presents and the turkey and the tinsel and the shopping, and that you pause and remember that on that first Christmas, Jesus came, the Saviour of the world, because he loves you.